بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 31st of July in the year 2015 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 24th night that we're going through the important subject with regards to the major signs of the hour. And I reached the stage where I've mentioned the death of the accursed Dajjal. And also the commander of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, to convey their salams to the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So a question is often posed with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, and that is, what will be the length of his reign? So this is answered by the Holy Prophet himself sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In Abu Dawud, number 4324, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 9259, Hakim in his Mustadrak 2-595 states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi, Sahih, Ibn Hibban, 8-277, Sahih, Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 15-158, Ibn Jarir, 9-388, and others. Shaykh Al-Bani Rahmatullah Alayhi states Sahih in Sahih Ul-Jan, number 5265. Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Isa alayhi salatu wa salam, he will live on the earth for 40 years. After killing the Dajjal, then he alayhi salatu wasalam will die and the Muslims will pray the funeral prayer over him. So here in this flawless report in Abu Dawud, Ahmad and many other references, the Prophet clearly indicated sallallahu alayhi wasalam how long he would be on the earth, because he would be on the earth for 40 years after killing the Dajjal. And then it mentions he will pass away like every other human being, and the funeral prayer will be offered over him. But there is a point here. In Ma'riful Qur'an, volume 5, page 662-3 of the English translation, Mufti Shafi, he said, rahmatullah alayh, as for the hadith in Sahih Muslim, which puts the duration of his stay at just 7 years, it has been rated as having less length or having some unapparent meaning in the hadith terminology, marjuh or mu'awwal, by Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullah alayh in Fath al-Bari, who added that the period of 40 years is the correct one. So here something very interesting is worth pointing out. In Sahih Muslim it mentions he will be on the earth for 7 years. In Abu Dawud, Sahih Hadith mentions 40 years. So without any investigation, a person would straight away think, well, the hadith in Sahih Muslim should be the one favored. However, the masters of the hadith sciences, they say there's a hidden weakness or a very unapparent weakness in the hadith, and they've detected it. So therefore they state that the 40-year hadith is the correct one, meaning something is problematic with the hadith of 7 years. Another possible reconciliation could be that the 40 years, due to its auspiciousness and blessings, would only feel like 7 years. And they actually report in Abd ibn Humayd, where Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he recited the following verse in Surah Az-Zukhruf, Surah 43, verse 61, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim, وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ, and he shall be a known sign of the hour. He explained, when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam appears, he will appear on the earth for 40 years, which will be like 4 years, due to its auspiciousness, and he will perform Hajj and Umrah. So here Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he commented upon a verse of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, he shall be a known sign of the hour. And like I mentioned a few sessions back, this refers to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But then Abu Huraira said radiallahu anhu, he'll be on the earth for 40 years, which will be like 4 years, due to blessings, and he will perform Hajj and Umrah. So another reconciliation between the 40 years and 7 years is, the 7 years is correct, but it'll feel like that. due to the blessings of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Allahu Akbar. Consider that the magnificent era of the Khilafah al-Rashidin radiyallahu ta'ala anhum only lasted 30 years. And look at what incredible achievements were made within it. To now the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's reign, which would be 10 years longer. So to us, 30 years, 40 years, what can we achieve? But when there's extraordinary people at the head of affairs, they do extraordinary things. If you look at the Khilafah al-Rashidin, what they did in that short period of time is very hard to comprehend. Even the Kuffar can't explain it. How Islam spread so quickly in such a short period of time. And they are not prophets. So imagine a 10-year addition and a prophet at the helm. So you can imagine, you know, how the blessings would pour down upon the earth at that blessed time. Indeed, one can only imagine what unparalleled prosperity and blessings would be descending upon the earth at that time, which we will discuss next, inshallah. So again, the period of time is 40 years. If anybody poses the question, there's a hadith of 7 years, you can explain this now. So what would be the first monumental thing that will take place after the death of the accursed Dajjal? It would sadly be the tragic passing away of the Honorable Imam Mahdi, radiyallahu. Allahu Akbar, just as the fall of Makkah was a sign to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of his imminent departure, so would the descent of the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam be a similar sign of the imminent departure for the Honorable Imam Mahdi, radiyallahu. So think about that. How did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know that he was leaving the world? And one of the signs he was given was Makkah fell. And Allah the Almighty and Glorious, he revealed Surah An-Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. And Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said in Sahih Bukhari, this surah indicated his death. Meaning that he knew, even though it was a few years left, that he's going to pass away. That was a sign. So similarly, the scholars rahimahumullah stated that when Isa alayhi salatu wasalam descends, that would be a sign for the Mahdi that your time is almost up. So look how interesting. We can't wait for him to descend, but at the same time there's a tragedy there. And that of course is that the noble Imam Mahdi would leave us. Indeed, this can be determined by the length of his rule and also his staying upon the earth, for as mentioned in Hakim al-Is Mustadrak number 8670, states Sahih to the criteria of Muslim, our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will live, underline that word, he will live for, and then he indicated with his two hands, i.e. eight years. He will live, so the Prophet mentioned he will live for 8 years, i.e. in terms of his authority. In another report, in Ahmad in his Musnad 3-37, Ad-Dur al-Mantur 6-57, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mahdi radiyallahu anhu will live for 7, 8, or 9 years with justice, fairness, and distribution of wealth. Note again, now the Prophet is mentioning a different time, 7, 8, or 9 years. Clarifying further, in Bazar al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawaid 7-316 states Sahih, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at minimum, the duration of the Khalifat of Mahdi radiyallahu anhu will be 7 years. It could also be 8 or 9 years. So if you combine all these authentic reports, it's talking about his Khilafat. He will either rule for 7 years or a maximum of 9. This clearly suggests that the Honorable Imam radiyallahu anhu will pass away shortly after handing over the authority to Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So think about that. His death is not mentioned. But if you look at the reports, it seems to point towards that as soon as his authority is given back to Christ alayhi salatu wasalam, he passes away. Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi have clarified in his Al-Arf Ush Shadi Volume 2, page 47. Hazrat Mahdi radiyallahu will be sent for the reformation of the Muslims. After the descent of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he would then move from this world to the hereafter. So there's an authority. So Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi mentioned that in one of his works. Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri was a great scholar. He was a muhaddith. and he's from Kashmir, that's why he's called Kashmiri. He had a phenomenal memory. There's an incident where he needed to take a book from a library, but the librarian goes, "You can't take it, it's too precious to be handled." He memorized it. He just looked at it, read it, and he memorized it. He had a phenomenal memory. And he was one of the famous Hanafi scholars from the Indian subcontinent. He wrote many works. One of his works is a commentary on Sahih Bukhari called Faidul Bari. And it's a tremendous work. So Sheikh Anwar Shah Kashmiri, in this work, Al-Arf Ushadi, volume 2, page 47, he said, Mahdi comes to reform the Muslims. Radiyallahu. After Isa descends, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would move on to the hereafter. His job is complete. The most authoritative information with regards to his passing away is that he would not be martyred in any battle. So this is the most authentic view, that Imam Mahdi would not be martyred, radiyallahu. Thus, in the ninth year of his emergence, according to one report, he would pass away at the age of just 49 years. No information can be found concerning the city in which he will pass away and where he would be buried. In one report, it merely mentions this: he, radiallahu anhu, will pass away and the Muslims will perform the funeral prayer over him. This is in Abu Dawood, number 4286, Aun al-Ma'bud, volume 11, page 255, with a sahih chain of transmission. So if anybody goes, where does he die? Where is he buried? There's no information. Think about that, how interesting. We don't know. But it says he will pass away and the janazah would be offered over him. And it seems he'll be around 49 years at the time when he passes away. It thus seems obvious and most apparent that the funeral prayer of Imam Mahdi radiallahu would be performed by the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. However, no authentic report can be located to substantiate this fact. But of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So you logically, you think this. But you can't just speak from your desires. There is a possibility that, you know, he might not be there. Because don't forget, the whole world he's looking after. The Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So obviously things happen. So there is a possibility he will not lead his funeral prayer. But your heart seems to go towards that the Holy Prophet will alayhi salatu wasalam. Indeed, such would be the universal grief upon his passing away, that despite the presence of Christ alayhi salatu wasalam, our beloved Messenger said sallallahu alayhi wasalam, in Ahmad in his Musnad 3-37, Ad-Dur al-Mantut 6-57, after him there will be no goodness for the living to enjoy. After him, there will be no goodness for the living to enjoy, i.e. they will be grieving so much despite the fact that the Holy Prophet Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salatu wasalam is with them. Look how strange that is. So you're thinking, you know, obviously you're going to grieve, there's no doubt about that, you know, what a loss. But would you go to that extent? That you can't enjoy anything? Can't enjoy the food, can't enjoy your family, can't enjoy, because there'll be no goodness. And that shows how much the people love him. Because think about it, when he came, from what he's done, to where he brought the Muslims. Indeed, he would have fulfilled his task most admirably, about which it is mentioned in Abdul Razak in his Al-Musannaf, number 20,770, or 11-372. The sky will not leave any of its drops. The earth will not leave any of its water that it will bring forth. This will be to such a degree that the living will desire that the dead will be alive to observe this. Such blessings will be descending upon his passing away. He goes, the living goes, if only the dead could have been alive to enjoy this. And yet, the living won't enjoy it because of his passing away. And similarly, in Kanzul Umal, volume 6, page 29, it mentions, he, radiallahu, he will fill the hearts of the Ummah of Muhammad with contentment. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, radiallahu, will fill the hearts of the Ummah of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with contentment. Now, why is that interesting? That means that you're awliya. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Imam Suyuti in his Jami As-Saghir, contentment is a wealth that can never be exhausted. The awliyas are content. Normal people aren't. They're worried, they're kabra, they got all these problems. This is the son of walayat. And look what he says. He will fill the hearts of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with contentment. Meaning that you'll all be very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. indeed the treasure in front of the door of the Holy Kaaba will eventually be distributed by the great Imam radiallahu anhu, a unique honor for a unique man. Where does it mention this? In Kanzul Umar, Nu'aym ibn Hammad in his Al-Fitan, number 1062, page 284, with a Sahih channel transmission, Tawus, senior Tabi'in, rahmatullah alayhi, relates, Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, he bids farewell to the Kaaba, and he says, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I do not know whether I should leave the treasures of the Kaaba, its weapons and wealth, or whether I should now distribute it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Ali responded, radiyallahu, leave it. This is not your responsibility. The person who will perform that task will be a youngster from us, the Quraysh. He will distribute it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the final year. So let's look at this. What's this treasure? Ever since time memorial, there's been gold, and it's at the door of the Kaaba, it's underneath. So basically, you got more money than sense there. What's it doing there? We don't need to know. Umar radiallahu anhu, in a more famous hadith in Sahih Bukhari, he was sitting, and he's, I'm going to take that wealth out, I'm going to distribute it with the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man next to him says, you can't. So he turns to me, he goes, why can't I? And he goes, your two friends didn't do it. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr. And then he says, you're right, they must be followed. Look at that. And some people say, no, Abu Bakr can make mistakes. Someone goes, they must be followed. So he left it. In this report, again in his heart, he's thinking, you know, this wealth can be used. And Hazrat Ali finally calmed him. He goes, you can't do it. He goes, this is for one of my family members. Because at the end of time, he will do it. He will share this wealth. So meaning, this is a unique honor for him. Allah Ta'ala wants him to be given that honor. However, the greatest treasure which this most blessed man shared with one and all was undoubtedly simply his blessed and most magnificent and unparalleled self. Forget about the wealth, it's the man. This is why Sayyidina Umar once, he was sitting, radiyallahu anhu, in Bukhari, in his tarikh, Sahih Hadith, and he was sitting with some of his friends, and he goes, make wishes. So one of them thought, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, I wish that this dwelling would be full of gold, so I could spend it in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Umar radiyallahu anhu then says, make another wish. So another person says, I wish that this dwelling was full of pearls and rubies to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's making another wish. Eventually there goes, Amir al-Mu'mineen, what wish? What is your wish? He goes, I wish that this dwelling was full of men like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Hudhayfa ibn al-Yamman, and Mu'adh ibn al-Jabal. Right? Now what did he mean by that? He goes, money is only useful when you've got people behind it. What's the point of money? Imagine if somebody goes, you know, we've got billionaire Muslims. Is he paying his zakat? Forget about being generous. Is he doing the basics? If he's not, he's a mass murderer. People say, why is zakat the pillar? Think about that. You know, stupid question to ask. Why is zakat the pillar? You only do it once a year. You got blood in your hands if you don't give it. So he said, men. So here, when Imam Mahdi, look how touching, when he's sharing that unparalleled wealth, that's not really the wealth, it's the man. Therefore, when he leaves, that would be the great loss. May the Almighty and Glorious Subhanahu wa Ta'ala reward our Imam radiallahu anhu most handsomely for all his magnificent and untiring care for us, and reunite him most cheerfully and happily with his unparalleled and majestic grandfather in Jannat al-Firdaus. Amin. So obviously this is where the great life of Imam Mahdi ends, during the reign of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Another great honor for him, obviously. So moving on. Major events and achievements during the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's glorious reign. So don't forget, 40 years. There's going to be a lot of things happening in those 40 years. There would be indeed many glorious achievements during the magnificent reign of the Holy Prophet Isa. And this is an understatement. When you say magnificent, that's not even a strong enough word to use. So let's look at a few. The first, the whole world will become Muslim. Well, that one up. You know, people ask these strange questions. He goes, why did Allah the Almighty send the plague of Amwas? What they mean by that is, during the Khilafat of Umar radiyallahu anhu, Islam was spreading left, right and center. Nobody could stop the Sahaba in the campaigns. Allah Ta'ala stopped them with the plague. Thousands, 30,000 were martyred by the plague. Because why did our Lord do that? So our ulama said, if it wasn't sent, the whole world would become Muslim. So then the person goes, oh, brother, you know, you're getting, you know, that's just an emotional statement. And you say, right, when Christ comes, what happens? He goes, well, what? He goes, the whole world becomes Muslim. Then you go, but he's a prophet. What did the prophet say about the Khilafah Rashidin? He likened Abu Bakr to who? Which prophets? Ibrahim and Isa. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Imam Ahmad's Muslim. Who did he liken Umar to? Musa and Nuh. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In Imam Ahmad's Muslim. Who did he liken Uthman to? Himself. Sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And Ibrahim. Alayhi salatu wasalam. And who did he liken Ali to? Harun. So don't you think they're going to do some extraordinary things? Fruitcake, right? But the plague came. But here with Christ, the whole world. But to be more precise, the majority of the world will be Muslim. There'll still be obviously some, you know, crackpots around. But predominantly the whole world will be Muslim. So where's the proof? In Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, in the glorious Sahih, it mentions Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by him subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whose hand is my soul. Indeed, the son of Maryam, alayhi salatu wasalam, will descend amongst you as a just ruler. He will break the cross, kill the pigs, abolish the jizya. Abu Huraira added, if you wish, you may recite the following verse to confirm. Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, verse 159. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِن مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ إِلَّا لَيُؤْمِنَنَّ بِهِ قَبْلَ مَوْتِهِ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكُونُ عَلِيهِمْ شَهِيدًا. And there is none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death. And on the day of judgment, he will be a witness against them. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, it's clear in the Quran. He goes, all the people of the book will believe in him without exception. That means, well, who's left? Somebody goes, all the world religions, Islam, Christianity, Judaism. If they all became Muslim, well, there's going to be a few here and there. But that's what it meant. It means all of them will become Muslim. The Quran testifies to that, according to Abu Huraira radiallahu. But the question is, why will there be no jizya? So some ignorant people, they don't think. They go, this hadith isn't true. Because why isn't it? They go, how can Isa alayhi salam cancel the shariah? Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he follows the Quran and the Sunnah because he's abolishes the jizya. He hasn't got that. That means that he's changing the Sharia. So what's the response? The reason for there now being no jizya is that every other false religion would have been abolished. Fruitcake, right? You know, who's going to pay the jizya? Where's the Jews? Where's the Christians? Imam Nawawi, he commented, rahmatullah alayh, in Sharh Sahih Muslim 2-190, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will not abrogate the jizya. Rather, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is the one who stated it will be abrogated and that Isa will rule according to our Shariat. So he goes, another way to look at this is the Prophet uttered those words, indicating it will last until the time of Christ. Then it changes. Therefore, Christ merely complies with the command of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But you get, you know, people in the streets quoting this, and then they've got the audacity to say, even if it isn't Bukhari and Muslim. There's people like this now on the street, right? Even if it isn't Bukhari and Muslim. You know, what's left in Bukhari and Muslim? Where else can I turn to? There goes Quran, and they're the most distant from Quran, those people. But they say Quran, when you ask them about a verse, they don't know left from right. This is an important point for the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam will not change an iota of the final revelation. He will implement it completely. But how do we know? In Abu Dawud, number 4324, Ahmad in his Musnad, number 9259, Hakim in his Mustadrak, 2-595, states Sahih to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi Sahih, Ibn Hibban, number 8-277, Sahih. Abdul Razak, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Musnad, 15-158. Ibn Jarir, 9-388, and others. Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih in Sahih al-Jami number 5265. Abu Huraira radiyallahu alayhi states that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he alayhi salatu wa salam will fight the people until they become Muslim. And during his time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy all religions apart from Islam. So it's mentioned in another flawless report. He will do jihad. And they'll become Muslim and no religions will be left apart from the glorious true deeds of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole world, imagine it, that's enough, isn't it? Somebody goes, what happens in those 40 years? Assalamu alaikum to everybody, isn't it? That's what happens in those 40 years. The next thing. There would be unparalleled peace in the world, coupled with an abundance of blessings. Think about it. In America, they got problems with guns. Why? Because there's no security. Think about that. That's why they got guns. Why they got guns for? Because they haven't got security. People looking over their shoulder, not trusting, you know, what's happening, even with the neighbors. In the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's time, the whole world will experience peace. And there'll be too much blessings. But where's the proof of this? In Imam Ahmad's Musnad, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then peace and security would prevail on the earth. So much so that lions will graze with camels, tigers with cattle, and wolves with sheep. Indeed, even the children would be able to play with snakes without coming to any harm. Somebody goes, what? So imagine somebody goes to you, oh, I've let the lion, I've, you know, go to a zoo, I've let one out. Would you just hang around? Right? He's there, no problem. Let's go and look at the lions, tigers, you know, you think, you know, you must have lost plot, mate. And yet, complete peace. And the hadith even says, a child plays with snakes. Imagine, why doesn't the snake bite? What's happened to the poison? That's how much peace there's going to be when Christ comes, alayhi salatu wasalam. It is no wonder that our beloved messenger went on to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Daylami and others, Shaykh al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi authenticated in As-Sahiha number 1926, blessed is the life after the second coming of Christ. Blessed is the life after the second coming of Christ, alayhi salatu wa sallam. For the heavens will be asked for rainfall, and the earth will be told to grow vegetation. Thus, even if you were to put a seed on Mount Safa in Makkah, it would still grow. And there would thus be no mutual spite, jealousy or hatred. SubhanAllah. So imagine, the Prophet said it twice. He goes, amazing when my brother returns. Amazing. And then he mentioned a few things to explain this. He goes, the whole world will be full of blessings. He goes, even if you go to the desert, Makkah is a desert. Things don't grow there. He goes, imagine going to Mount Safa, you put a seed there, you think, what are you doing, mate? What's going to grow here? He goes, something would grow because of the blessings of Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that nobody would have anything. Imagine inwardly, you wouldn't just be given that fake smile, but in your heart, may you die, may your family die. You'd be genuinely in your heart wishing well for others. Indeed, such would be the prosperity that in Bukhari and Muslim, Abu Huraira reports radiyallahu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, wealth would be in such abundance that no one would care about it. Imagine, isn't it? Somebody goes, oh, there's a suitcase of 50 pound notes outside. So what? Imagine, isn't it? That's your attitude. If you say that, nah, somebody goes, what are you telling me for? Why did you get it? Imagine, isn't it? You must be a fool. Not bothered about it. Because there's so much wealth. What do we need wealth for? You know, like, what if you got a home like water, isn't it? You know, we're spoiled with water. That's like what we will consider wealth to be like in those days. And then we're looking back, imagine people died over this. What fools they were. People earned this in an unlawful manner. Imagine it. What fruitcakes are these? Astaghfirullah. But that's the time of Christ, alayhi salatu wasalam. In another report, in Sahih Muslim, in the chapter on the descent of Isa, alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Huraira said, radiyallahu, and when he summons people, alayhi salatu wasalam, to accept wealth, not even one will do so. Imagine he's going all around the world, Holy Prophet Isa. He's saying, please take the wealth. Nobody takes it. Not one person. Somebody goes, what means that? Surely one person is going to come forward. He says, not one person comes. Take it. Imagine, take it. But we don't need it. Right? Imagine, nah, even though bank's full, somebody offer you something, yeah, I'll take it. for blessings. You put that one in as well, innit? Blessings. But really, I need, you know, I just want that £50 note. Blessings come second. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was basically, I talked about the length of the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa salam's length. I mentioned the tragic passing away of the majestic Imam Mahdi radiallahu anhu. I mentioned a few details about this. And then I started now to discuss the glorious reign of the Holy Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wa salam. And taking a glimpse into how extraordinary it would be during that auspicious time. Are there any questions you have to ask?
There's a report that somebody does come forward and take the money. Is that during Mahdi's time?
Mahdi's time. Yes. Okay, yeah. There's a report, mashallah, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Sahih Hadith, where only one man will approach the Mahdi. And when he takes it, he then realizes there's nobody else. And then he wants to give it back. And the one who's looking after the wealth, he goes, "We don't take back what we give." But that's the difference. One man comes, Imam Mahdi's time, but in Christ's time, nobody. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Subhanallah. Any other comments or questions? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanaka allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr innal insana lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa tawasaw bil haqq wa tawasaw bis sabr sadaqallahu al azim.